Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night. Why am I singing ladies' night? Well, because it's ladies' night for my wife. The lovely Mrs. Laura Horn is having some friends over in the living room. They're enjoying having their ladies' night in their chat. My children are being entertained by the digital nanny, Toy Story 3, and the portable DVD player for them. So while everybody else is occupied, I figured that I would catch up here on recording podcasts for the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn, and it's Free for All Friday, which means we get to talk about all kinds of interesting subjects, fascinating oddities from all over the world. Today, what I want to talk about are the biggest fakers that are exposed. So I love when con men, scam artists get exposed and hoisted by their own petard. I think it's a justified feeling of Schadenfreude, as the Germans would say, the feeling of pleasure at another's misfortunes. So that's what I talk about here on the podcast today, are the biggest fakers that get exposed. So the first set that I want to talk about are fake kung fu masters. So there are people who practice fake martial arts, people who claim that they're masters of martial arts, and they actually aren't. And the best way to show that somebody is a fake martial arts expert is to get them in the ring with a real martial arts expert, and they usually get crumpled pretty quickly. But there's a subset of these fake martial arts experts, not just people who claim to have black belts, but don't really have black belts. There's a subset that I'm fascinated by, and these are people who claim, I don't know whether it's fraud or they've deluded themselves, but they believe that they're so good at kung fu. They're like these amazing kung fu masters. They can harness their chi energy that they can actually deliver a knockout without physically touching their opponent. And it's hilarious to watch the videos of these people in action. First, it's funny to watch. There's this one master, he's like over in China, I believe. And there's videos of him in a dojo with all of his students around him. And I don't know if the students are in on the fraud or if they are deluded as well. But you'll see him, he'll stand in the middle of the ring and the students will all run at him. And he'll just like wag his fingers at them like he's going bang, 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 bang. Or he'll twirl his fingers in the air and the students will like freeze and then throw themselves away from him like it's a bad Hollywood stunt movie. So they had this guy actually in the ring with a real martial arts expert, and he absolutely got destroyed. When you see the look of shock on his face when he actually gets punched, I think that that absolute shock was, I don't think he was a con man. I think that he was actually deluded to think that he could do this no-touch ability to bring these kind of knockouts. Over in America, there's a practitioner who defends touchless knockouts. His name is George Dillman. George Dillman is a controversial American martial arts instructor who popularized the use of pressure points, also known as Kyosho Jitsu, among the United States martial arts practitioners. So he does do a legitimate form of martial arts where if you touch a particular pressure point on a person's neck or their side, you can actually debilitate that person. And I've seen this in self-defense courses. My dad actually showed me some of this. He's a security guard at a mall, and they've taught him how to use certain kinds of pressure points in subduing people. Now, he doesn't go out there and start fights with anyone, but if somebody comes up and starts a fight with him, he's learned a few tips and techniques to deal with someone if he has to subdue them. But Dillman, what's amazing with him is he claims you can take chi energy, and it's this kind of mystical energy that science has never found, and you can turn it into a kind of defensive or offensive weapon to fire at somebody if you can harness it right, and you can knock a person down without ever actually touching them. So National Geographic did a documentary on him several years ago, and here's part of the documentary where they talk about the use of chi energy. I think it's spelled C-H-I or sometimes Q-I, chi energy. So here's a part of that.
He makes a chi ball. He'll get the radio frequency going between the hands, and if you get up and feel, it's actually hotter inside that ball.
So here we have Dillman on tape, and he's got like this like 10-year-old boy who's like putting his hands together like his hands are touching an invisible globe. And he's like, he's making a chi ball. You can feel the air is going to be even warmer in between his hands. Well, it's because his hands are probably warm from working out and doing karate a bunch. But he's trying to like seem like it's like a Dragon Ball Z or Street Fighter, you know, Hadouken. You can make like actual invisible fireballs of energy. So we'll keep going.
I've seen him already knock people over with it.
He throws the chi in such a way that when he catches it, it knocks him backwards.
For Dillman, chi is like electrical circuitry that he can turn on or off with a simple, well-placed punch, or even just a tap.
Okay, so this is, qi has been something that's a part of traditional Chinese culture for a long time. It's thought of as like a material energy or a life force, but it's considered a pseudo-scientific or an unverified concept. There's nothing in physics that is familiar with anything or has measured anything that is related to qi energy. And so Dillman claims that you can do this. You can take qi energy and just deliver it and knock somebody down without touching them. So what National Geographic did was they brought a skeptic along, I think like an Italian chemist, and they tried to do the qi knockout with him, and it didn't work because he's not in on the game. He's not in on the con. He's like, yep, didn't bring me down. And so it's hilarious to watch them try to do it and then struggle to come up with an explanation. Or Dillman doesn't even seem like he struggles. He struggles maybe like a second, and then he comes up with an absurd explanation to say why it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Okay. Dillman thinks he knows what went wrong and has come up with a very interesting explanation.
The skeptic was a totally non-believer. Plus, I don't know if I should say that on film, but if the guy had his tongue in the wrong position of the mouth, that can also nullify it. Yeah, you can nullify it. You can nullify a lot of things done to you. In fact, you can nullify them if you raise those two big toes. Plus, if I say I'm going to knock you out, and you raise one toe and push one toe down, can't knock you out. And then if I go to try again, you reverse it. If you keep doing this, I won't knock you out.
So remember, as a self-defense technique, if someone like George Dillman or another martial arts expert tries to knock you down with an invisible qi energy fireball, you won't be knocked out as long as your tongue is in the wrong place in the mouth, or if you alternate raising your big toe on your right foot and the big toe on your left foot. So left big toe up, right big toe down, keep alternating. The guy with the qi energy can't knock you down. Or he just won't be able to knock you down at all because qi energy is not a real thing and this is just a big bunch of baloney. But hey, it's hilarious baloney to watch. And I'll leave a link to this video and the other resources we're talking about here on the podcast at trendhornpodcast.com for you to watch at your leisure later so you can see this in action. I'll try to find the video of the no-touch karate guy who gets totally brought down in the ring. So if I do find that, I'll put that on the podcast at trendhornpodcast.com. All right, here's our next one. This is a exposing of a self-described psychic and stage performer, James Heidrick. So James, I think it's Heidrick or Heidrick is his name. He claimed to be able to perform acts of telekinesis, which is, of course, the ability to move objects through the power of your mind alone. Following a nationally televised demonstration of his abilities on the American reality show That's Incredible, he was unable to prove his supernatural abilities on That's My Line, a show hosted by Bob Barker. So when I first watched this, I thought, why do they have a psychic on The Price is Right? Bob Barker hosted That's My Line before that. He brought Heidrick on to try to show, and his shtick was that he could move a pencil on a table through the power of his mind, and he could turn pages in a phone book just by the power of his mind. You'd see him wave his hands a little, stare at the pencil, stare at the pages of the telephone book, and they would seem to move on their own. How in the world was he able to do that? It should take about 10 seconds for you to figure out how he's probably able to do something like that and make it seem like he's doing it with his mind alone. But they brought in James Randi, a wonderful magician. I disagree with his pessimistic view towards the supernatural, but I do appreciate James Randi, who's a magician and a skeptic, debunking people who are basically using magic tricks to try to pretend that they're actually psychic. So they brought Randi out, and for the pencil moving trick, well, I mean, here's the shtick, basically. The guy's blowing it. I mean, he's obviously failing. I don't mean blowing it in the what's the word I'm looking for here, colloquial sense. I mean, he's actually exhaling air in a disguised way between his lips when they're pursed, a very concentrated jet of air. And by doing that, he can actually make a pencil move on a table or the pieces of paper move. So Randi comes out and here's the explanation he gives.
Since my theory, as yet unproven, of course, is that it's accomplished simply by blowing, though rather cleverly, I must admit, done, there should be a way, a simple way without a lot of instrumentation, to demonstrate that fact by using one very simple control.
Okay, so he says that he can't do a control to show that Heydrich is not blowing the pencil, because any amount of air in there could be moving a pencil around. They don't even put the pencil straight on the table. They have the pencil balance on the edge of the table, so half of it's hanging off. So, I mean, that kind of thing will move all the time just on its own. So now what Randy does around the phone book, very clever, he puts down styrofoam packing peanuts all around the phone book, and then he explains why.
Now, what I have here is particles of a white plastic, which, when given a good puff, good heavy puff of air, will, I think, rather conclusively show whether or not blowing is a method accomplished. Now, it will not perhaps in some way differentiate between genuine psychic power and actual blowing, but it certainly should be very interesting indeed to see what now occurs.
James?
Ready.
So he looks at it for a bit and he stares at it. The pages don't move. And then he shakes his head back and forth, signifying no. And then Bob Barker comes back in.
Now, James, you had another question.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to ask?
Okay. The styrofoam and the lights form electricity, which pulls the page. Look.
So now what he's doing is he picks up pages from the phone book and he shows how when he picks them up, they fall immediately back down. And he says that a combination of the lights and the plastic pellets are creating some kind of static electricity, keeping the pages affixed to the phone book, and that Heydrich's telekinesis must then be extremely weak. He can only move phone book pages if they're not clung together with static electricity. So that's a funny thing when you have fakers and con artists, is that they never give up the game right away. They still try to come up with some kind of explanation to show why it didn't end up working. Oh, and just another side note, if you're wondering whatever happened to James Heydrich, well, here's after his career as a psychic. It says here, wanted on an outstanding warrant, Heydrich was apprehended after police saw him discussing psychic powers on the Sally Jesse Raphael talk show. In 1989, Heydrich was sentenced to 17 years for molesting 5 boys in Huntington Beach, California. Heydrich petitioned for release in May of 2013, but a trial resulted in a hung jury. As of 2013, he is housed at the Coalinga State Hospital. Next up, we have Peter Popoff. So Peter Popoff was a televangelist, very popular in the 70s and 80s, would have large crowds, would claim to be able to perform faith healing. And of course, being able to heal someone through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that does actually happen. But even though that authentic charism of the Holy Spirit is real, there are people who claim to have that charism who don't actually have it. And Popoff was one of these people. He claimed not only that he could heal people through the Spirit, but that God would miraculously tell him what was wrong with somebody, what their name was, where they lived, and that he would be able to do all, you know, have all of this supernatural knowledge and abilities to heal people. And he claims, you know, that God just spoke to him, a little voice in his ear. But it wasn't God that was actually speaking to him in these big rallies. As you'll see, James Randi was also involved in exposing Popoff. Here's what actually happened. Let me play a little bit here. So first you get a feel of how Popoff was like in these faith healing big rallies that he would hold.
You've got cancer of the stomach? Are you ready for God to burn that cancer out? Here it goes in the mighty. Devil, back off. Back off, devil! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
I am surprised sometimes when Popoff does this, and I've seen other pastors do this as well. They get really aggressive, like, devil, get out of you. I'm always worried, like, dude, you're going to cure their cancer. Then you're going to kill that lady with a heart attack, dude. Dial it down below 11. So far it seems, you know, pretty standard. But then it gets interesting when Randy tried to figure out how he was able to know people's names and addresses. And it's clever how he discovered that.
I tell you, from now on, you're going to have a soul of victory in your heart. Amen.
To his followers, Popoff seemed to have divine powers.
Is it Gould? Alice Gould?
He knew their names.
Stand up, Alice.
As well as the afflictions they'd come to cure.
God is touching that thyroid condition right now. God is touching your nerves right now. God is touching your eyes. Just lift up your hands, get ready. Here it comes.
He also knew the personal details of their lives.
You're going to hear good news from Charles before everything is over. I'll tell you, he's going to be completely delivered because of your prayers, because of your faith. Here it comes, complete healing in Jesus. Ooh, mighty name, right now, right now, right now. Amen. It's all right to praise the Lord.
I suspected that Popoff's revelations were other than divine. The radio scanner we brought to the hall picked up a decidedly worldly source.
So if you didn't catch that, what Randy did was he brought a radio scanner to see if someone was giving Popoff this information. And lo and behold, they did discover it. It was his wife. So what you're going to hear now is the actual audio of Popoff in during these faith healing sessions. But interspersed on top of that is the actual radio transmissions that his wife was giving him through a hidden earpiece.
Hello, Petey. Can you hear me? If you can't, you're in trouble.
Popoff was being prompted by his wife through a wireless earpiece.
John?
Dearly Johnson.
She'd gotten her information from prayer cards filled out by the faithful before the show began.
She's about to get rid of the walker.
You want to get rid of this walker, sister? Oh, glory. How long have you been walking on that walker?
About 3 years.
3 years.
So she lives at 1627 10th Street.
1627 10th Street? Is that right?
That's right.
She has arthritis all over.
Burning this arthritis right out of your body. Take a few steps just to make the devil mad. Hallelujah. That's it. Just move around a little bit there.
So after Popoff was exposed, he would tell people, well, he only had his wife help him with the really difficult ones that God couldn't fill in for him. So after this, though, Popoff's career as a faith healer was ultimately went down the toilet. He went bankrupt after he was exposed. But he made a comeback in the late 1990s. And then beginning in the mid-2000s, he would put on these infomercials promoting miracle spring water that he claimed could be able to cure whatever ails you. So you can't keep the con artists down. They always try to come up with something new. And they never let go because it's all that they know how to do. All right, our next one is another self-proclaimed psychic. You may have heard of him before. His name is Uri Geller. Uri Geller is an Israeli-British illusionist, magician, television personality, and self-proclaimed psychic. He's known for his trademark television performances of spoon bending and other illusions. Now, spoon bending is, of course, a trick that magicians have been doing for a very long time. You either use a trick spoon or you use sleight of hand to make it look like a spoon is bending in your hand when it actually isn't. Or if you massage a spoon at its most brittle point where the base connects to the stem, it's actually not that hard for some spoons to be able to get them to bend at that point. So Uri Geller would do spoon bending. He also claimed to have a whole bunch of other abilities, like that he had the ability to find water hidden in vessels. He was actually brought on The Tonight Show, hosted by Johnny Carson, and James Randi was a consultant to help expose him for who he was. And I believe Johnny Carson actually did stage magic, or he was familiar with that as an entertainer. So they brought Uri Geller out, and they had a bunch of stuff on a table to test him with. And one thing they wanted to test him was they had, it looked like 7 metallic salt shakers that you couldn't see through, and only one of them was filled with water. And Geller claimed that he could find water hidden in the ground. And that's actually, I think it's called like hydro divination or something. There are people who claim they can take divining rods and go out into the desert and find water, and they're scam artists as well. So they tried to get Geller to show that he couldn't do that. So here's a clip from The Tonight Show where they ask him, and I love when these people know, I mean, they got to know in their mind, like, oh man, I'm really in a bind here, but they still go ahead with it, almost thinking maybe their fake powers will come in for them. So here's a clip from The Tonight Show where Geller gives it a shot, but it just doesn't work very well.
Okay, let me rest a little, all right?
All right.
You know, I'm surprised because before this program, your producer came and he read me at least 40 questions you're going to ask me.
Well, I can ask you all kinds of questions if you'd like me to ask you questions.
I have to have time. And give me a little more time.
All right. We'll cut away from a commercial, and I will verify, and everybody in the studio will verify that nobody will touch the objects, okay?
Okay, so then they go to a break, and they come back, and here's what happens.
Well, we're back.
Also, I love that Johnny Carson is smoking during this. So it's just always funny when you see in old television shows, people who are smoking in late night talk shows, smoking on airplanes, people eating in restaurants outside. You know, that's the nostalgia we have during the age of COVID-19. So they come back and then they have a bit of a chat.
Burry was telling me you don't feel what, strong tonight?
I don't feel strong. It's not all tonight. Right now I'm feeling being pressed and then I can't.
Well, I'm not trying to press you. I really not.
You're only telling me, well, will you try that or that?
Well, I thought that was the idea of I'm not trying to put you down. I didn't mean that patronizingly at all, because I have seen you on shows, and I thought the idea was to show, if you possibly could, some of the things that you claim you can do. And I'm certainly don't want to press you, and if you don't feel like you can't do it tonight, or...
Man, Johnny Carson is a class act. I mean, is there anybody else who hosted The Tonight Show better than him? Of course, I only know this from watching old YouTube clips. Some of you who are listening to the podcast may have actually grown up watching when Carson, you know, hosted The Tonight Show. If you have fond memories of that, leave it in a comment at trendhornpodcast.com. Would love to be able to hear about that. I'm looking forward to when my kids grow up. Even now, there are young people who say things like, man, 20th century music is really cool. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm starting to feel old and you refer to it that way. And now our last hoaxer that was exposed. This is Balloon Boy. That's a blast from the past. Do you remember Balloon Boy from 2009? The Balloon Boy hoax occurred on October 15th, 2009, when a homemade helium-filled gas balloon shaped to resemble a silver flying saucer was released into the atmosphere above Fort Collins, Colorado, by Richard and Mayome Heaney. They then claimed that their 6-year-old son Falcon was trapped inside it. Authorities confirmed the balloon reached 7,000 feet during its 90-minute flight. The event attracted worldwide attention, and Falcon was nicknamed Balloon Boy in the media. National Guard helicopters and local police pursued the balloon. After flying for more than an hour and approximately 50 miles, the balloon landed about 12 miles northeast of Denver International Airport. When Falcon was not found inside, and it was reported that an object had been seen falling from the balloon, a search was begun. But later that day, the boy was found hiding in the attic where he had apparently been the entire time. I remember this one so vividly. I'm pretty sure I was traveling for work, or when it was back when I was working for Justice for All in 2009. I was traveling because I was at an airport and CNN was on, because an airport is the only place I really end up watching CNN, because there's a lot of things about CNN I absolutely detest. And that's something I'll have to get into another podcast episode. But I remember I wasn't in the Denver airport, because this was happening around DIA, but I was somewhere like Chicago or Salt Lake City. I was in an airport waiting for my flight, waiting to transfer onto my flight. And I was sitting, eating an overpriced burger and a soda in one of the airport restaurants, and was watching the TV monitors, and they had Balloon Boy on. And I was like, oh man, is there a kid up in that? Like, what's going to happen? And then later people were trying to find Balloon Boy, like if he fell out of it when he wasn't in the balloon, and they went and got a hold of it. But then later they found the kid. He was hiding in the attic, and they interviewed him on Larry King Live, and the whole thing fell apart as a hoax right there.
Later that evening, the Heaneys talked to CNN, and when Falcon was asked why he hid, the little boy said this.
We did this for the show.
What did he mean, we did this for the show?
I have no idea.
That interview sparked speculation over whether the whole thing was an act. Authorities began calling it a hoax. At the time, saying the Heaneys, who had reportedly been shopping a reality show and had already been on ABC's Wife Swap, staged the stunt to gain fame.
So, yeah, it turns out these were people who were after publicity, though they still deny it to this day. On October 18th, Larimer County Sheriff Jim Alderton announced the conclusion that the incident was a hoax and the parents would face felony charges. On November 13th, 2009, Richard Heaney pleaded guilty to attempting to influence a public servant. He was sentenced to 90 days in jail in order to pay $36,000 in restitution. His wife, Mayumi Heaney, was sentenced to 20 days of weekend jail. So the clip I'm playing from you is from a retrospective piece done on Nightline 10 years later. And Heaney still claims, notice the pattern. Notice the pattern with con artists and hoaxers. They, even though Heaney pled guilty, he'll say, well, I did that to avoid even worse charges. They never give it up. They don't give it up, and they will always try to find some way to weasel out of it. So here's part of his interview on Nightline 10 years later, where he still won't fess up to it.
The family now lives in Florida. Richard still maintains that it wasn't a hoax and says he was a victim of character assassination.
And how, after you stack all that stuff, throw in the interview that was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, you throw all that together with a background you have, why wouldn't people go?
This is another hit piece. This is another hit piece, which I anticipate.
Here?
Yeah.
What is it going to take to change public opinion that you know is still out there about what happened 10 years ago?
What would be nice is if the media could actually go, yeah, Richard's got a point, but it's so biased, okay? The media...
Yeah, so then he just goes on, and he's wearing this black wife beater that says Internet Search Truth Historian Richard Heaney. And I love it. He's just like, this is a hit piece. You're sitting down here. You're a hit piece. Everybody's out to get me. You're biased. Oh, I love it. So, hey, I hope you all enjoyed this Free For All Friday. Stay safe out there. Maintain your social distancing. Pray for this pandemic to end as soon as possible. And pray for the restoration of public worship. I think we're getting it back here in San Diego in maybe about 2 weeks or so. That'd be wonderful in the state of California. A lot of other places have opened up. Other people are still away from the Eucharist. Please pray that the pandemic ends soon. But even if it doesn't, that we can still resume some kind of normalcy in our lives while treating each other with kindness, respect, and dignity, and maintaining sanitary protocols to keep everybody safe. And I hope you have a safe weekend and a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.